This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Today, we are going to focus on the present. Focus on the present. That is the topic for today. Focus on the present. The last 1 week, in the place of prayer, the Lord began to show me some of the things that will happen in the days to come. For some of us, for GSWMI as a ministry, for some countries, some things he said, it is time to talk about them. Some things he said, I will give you more details. And some things he said should be done immediately. Now, in a typical fashion, when you get instructions from the Lord, you quickly want to drum up your strength. Oh, the Lord said we should do this. So, how do we get it done? You want to reach out to certain people who you have found reliable based on experience, based on relationship. And say to them, this is direction. This is what the Lord is saying now. So get on it. We have to do this. We have to do that. We have to do this. That is the natural way to get things done. If you have a system that is unspoiled, a system that is unruined, you continue to use the system. Only a bad coach changes a winning team. Only a bad coach changes a winning team. If you have a team that is giving you results, you continue to motivate them and you egg them on all the time. And as I drew my plans and I began to, in my head, apportion lots to each according to my experience, the Lord then drew my attention to a particular passage of the scriptures focusing on the life of King David. The Lord said, pay attention to the shifting sand that continued to surround Jerusalem. He said that David was the mountain called Jerusalem. Pay attention to the shifting sands that surrounded him all through his life. There is always a constant change, a constant movement of the human resources around the king. But always something kept the king grounded. And that was the fact that he always focused on the present. David was one of the most pragmatic leaders in scripture. Once he identifies a problem, David does not kowtow to sentiment. Immediately he saw Goliath, his next move was to kill Goliath. When it was time for him to move to Saul's palace, without thinking twice, he moved there. From the moment people hyped him and they called him, you have killed your tens of thousands, Saul has killed his thousands, and Saul started to change to him, he also adapted. When Saul began to give him tests, claiming that he wanted to use those tests to test his ability or strength to provide for his daughter, David faced those tests gallantly and delivered. From the moment he noticed that Saul was determined to kill him, David changed tactics again. He fled. Before he fled, he called Jonathan and he tacitly explained to Jonathan, "Your dad wants me dead." Jonathan was like, "Oh no." David said, "Okay, go find out. Let's put it to the test." They had a test. David discovered he was right. David fled. When David went to Nob, he went with one purpose, to get a sword so that he could be harmed. He calculated, he didn't just flee to anywhere. In where he was going, he had the presence of mind to know that, okay, what do I need now? I do not have the skin resources. I do not have an armory. Where can I get a sword? Oh, the sword of the Goliath that you killed is at Nob. Okay, let's go get the sword. You see, pragmatic thinking, present, present, present. There was a time he rode with Jonathan. At this time, he was no longer riding with Jonathan. Jonathan has now gone to be with his father. He had to ride with other people. When he got to Nob, they gave him bread. He stayed there for a while. When he left, Saul and Doeg, the Edomites, came. They killed all the people at Nob. Abiathar escaped. David began to ride with Abiathar. Abiathar the priest. Then they ran to the cave Adullam. And twice, some people betrayed David. He escaped death by the whiskers. And then he said, "Hey, this does not make sense. This one will eventually catch me and kill me." He packed his load. He ran to the Philistines. When he got to the Philistines, he got to King Achish. He drew a deal with him. And then he was able to sack Ziklag. He was able to stay there. Everything he did in the present. At no point did you see David saying that, "I miss Jonathan. Jonathan, I'm not going to move forward." When the sands shifts, David adapted. When the sands shift, David adapted. The only thing constant in life is change. And as the Lord began to show me this true scripture, and I would sit in silent reverie for hours, meditating and clearing my mind of the templates of old, that I might see clearly what the Lord would like me to do at present, the Lord began to bring to me cases of individuals in GSWMI that had been pending in my phone for a long time. And I began to go through them and I began to resolve these cases one by one. And whenever I would reach out to the person, imagine one. One and a half, 18 months ago, she reached out. And that 18 months ago, as soon as she reached out, I forwarded the case she brought to the leader of the group that would handle it. So I read that again to say, "Okay, hi, hope this case has been resolved." Because it was part of my training. Remember, I said the Lord was taking me through a process. So it was part of my training. It was part of my training as a minister of the gospel, that I understand what the Lord is saying and how the Lord intends to carry out everything that he wants to do with us. So I was really seriously determined that everyone that has anything related to the past, I needed to take care of their issues. I needed to make sure I resolve
recording.
I resolve their issues in such a manner that it would not be a problem as I move forward. So I need to resolve all past issues. So I called this person. He said, "Oh, what is the issue?" And do you know, the case she had 18 months ago is still the case she has now. It's still the case she has now. As if there had been no progress made in her life in the last 1.5 years. Why? Because many of us are so fixated on the past that even though our present situation may have changed, we do not conform our past to the present situation. So I said, how can it be that you are still in the same spot you were 18 months ago? The person you are seeing did not have a job at the time. You are wondering if you should marry him. You are wondering if he wouldn't become a liability to you for the rest of your life. That was 18 months ago. Let's assume that nobody counseled you, that you are by yourself as a young man. And you have a young man that wanted to marry you and had no job, no prospects, but you have a job and both of you are talking. You are ripe enough to get married. And this young man says he wants to marry you. But all his needs, he will come to you to meet them. And at the beginning, you are like, okay, let's see. He has prospects. Let's see if things will pan out. Let's see if he would get a job. Let's see if he would, I love him. So because of that, this teaching stage, let me be there for him. And that was how you started. You got to 4 years together. There has been no improvement. You still couldn't afford to rent a house, still couldn't hold down a job, still wait for you to collect your salary at the end of every month so that you can bring all his requests. It has now become like a pattern for him to depend on you, but you're not married. Your parents started talking about it, that when are you getting married? What is it doing? Then you reach out to somebody, you say, Baradwinger, please, can I marry this guy? Look at this, look at this, look at all this. Can I marry this guy? And then let's say I didn't reply. And another 18 months went by. And the situation did not improve. Do you still need any form of counseling to realize that if you marry him, you have already set a pattern that will last till the rest of your life? Does that need any other third party or soothsayer or prophet to show you that if you marry this person, now 6 years together in a relationship, you have basically become the breadwinner. You are not married to him, and yet you are the one taking care of all his needs. You are concerned about this 18 months ago when you are 4 years together. Now you are 5 years and 6 months together. Situation is still the same. And you are still not pragmatic enough to know this is not going to work. It was at that moment I realized something that we all do, that every one of us, we have this uncanny habit of dragging the past along into our present. Sentiment has become so strong in the way we think that it beclouds our decision making. The reason she stayed on was not because she saw potentials in him that, oh, he will still make it tomorrow. No. It was because she was thinking of all her investments, that how can I have spent so much money on this guy and I will not get any return on investment, my sister? you will never get return on that investment. That one is what we call bad loss or bad debt. You can't recover it. If you stay, you will continue to just dig deeper until things get worse. If you have children together, you will pay the school fees. If there's going to be any good life, traveling abroad, living the soft life, you will provide your own soft life. There will never be a soft life with this guy. You do not need a soothsayer, a prophet, a pastor, or a supernatural diviner or God to show you the pattern you have set. So I asked certain questions. Is he hardworking? Does he have a job? Did he start a business? Did he, at least so that he could venture forth to provide for himself? You said no. Is he living with you, or is he living with his parents, or living with his friends? Where does he live? Oh, he still lives with his parents. Okay. In that house where he lives, what are the responsibilities he takes care of? Does he fetch water for his parents? Does he cook? Does he take care of the car? What does he do? Said no. He sits down at home. Most of the time, just plays PS4, PS5. He's not responsible in his own parents' house. He doesn't help them financially. The parents are in their 60s, 70s. And you want to marry him? No. He's an irresponsible man. So I was careful. Because I know that there are some young men that are hardworking, that have great prospects, but that things have not panned out for them yet. But you will see it in their character. You will see it in their action. You will see it. They will not sit still and play game. You know, there's a language they use on the street. They will call it hustle. You will see that they are hustling. That means they are. They wake up in the morning thinking of what do I do today? You will see it will not really amount to big money for them yet, but you will see it in the strength of their character that these ones will eventually break through. You will see it. They will wake up in the morning, they are thinking of something, they are working on something, they are looking for a job. They may be underemployed, they will still find something to do. They would go to a friend's shop, even if the friend is a barber, they will help him to be washing people's head after a babs. I've done that before in my life. They will do things like that. You will know that these guys, they do not just want to sit down. They have prospects. They are hardworking. They are forward thinking. Things will eventually pan out. But if somebody is close to 40, basically sits at home, plays games, has a girlfriend who meets his financial needs and perhaps, I'm not sure, his sexual needs, and he's not even thinking he wants to marry. You are the only one thinking marriage. And you are thinking, can I marry him? I said to her, look at it in the present. Let's take away the record of your investments. Let's take you away from this case. Let's say this is you counseling your younger sister. Your younger sister comes to you with this thing. Take yourself out of the equation. Take your emotions out of it. Your younger sister comes to you and says, I found a man, and these are the situations I'm facing. What will you tell your younger sister? She said, I will tell her to run. I said, so why are you not running? I said, I want to get a confirmation from God. You see, that thing that God will help you break up a bad relationship. God will be the one to come from heaven to help you tear down a bad friendship. God will be the one that will separate you from bad influence. that God will be the one to come down from heaven to help you make decisions you should make so that your life can move forward. That is the laziest, most unpragmatic way of thinking that I've seen people exhibit. And that is the problem with dragging the past into the present. It would muddle up your sight. It will take away your ability to think clearly. It will be a problem. You will not be able to deploy your assets as you ought to. By the grace of God, I was able to handle two or three other cases yesterday. And all of them have the same tendency. The past has become such a stronghold that the individuals are not seeing what really is on ground in the present. So they cannot make their decisions devoid of the past. And because of that, they are stuck. Not because there is nothing to do now, but because they are considering, what if I move forward and then I make a mistake, I don't meet another person. So I move forward, I don't meet another person, I will now be lonely, I'll be crying. Okay, if that is the problem, marry him. That's not supposed to be a big deal. Marry him, but already make up your mind before you marry him. This is the kind of guy I'm marrying. I will not get into the marriage and start complaining or try to change him to be like other men. I'm going to accept my lot that I'm marrying a boy, my first son, and that I'm going to be treating him as my first son all the days of my life. I've seen marriages like that. As long as you make up your mind, that's what you want, it will work. You are basically marrying a child. But marrying a child is not evil as long as you are not going to come out and cry foul and be writing stories on social media tomorrow. You are going to say, I saw him as he was, I married him as he was, I knew what I was getting into. Glory to God, I've gotten my man. That is fine as long as you are reconciled to the fact that he wouldn't change. But if you are with somebody and you are hoping you are with somebody else, you know how that thing goes, where people will have a dream guy, they assume that their man or their wife will be a certain kind of person. They will now meet somebody. Instead of being married to the person they met, they will now assume that the person they met should start acting like the person of their dreams. The two lines will now not fit. They'll be saying, but you're supposed to be getting the door when I want to get in the car. And then the guy will say, what do you mean? As you get the door, is something wrong with your hand? Say, but I thought that a gentleman would do that. If you don't enter the car, I will leave you here. Then say, it's what I dreamt of, what I ordered versus what I got. What I ordered was not what I got. Well, again, it is because sometimes we take our mind far away from reality. You know, we have programmed ourselves to see things in a certain light. And then we are lying to ourselves now because the person or the people or whatever is not really fitting into the picture we have at the back of our mind. Take your eyes away from unrealistic delusions. Open your eyes and see what is right before you. This is my instructions to you as we go into the year of preparation. If you are going to have changes starting from the month of December, when the seven spirits of God will be in full work within the church into year 2026, where the Lord will really prepare us so that every one of us will walk in the fullness of of the fulfillment of our destinies. The one person that should be prepared is you. The way to be prepared is to shed the weight of the past. Shed the weight of idealistic expectations. Work with what you have. Again, work with what you have. I'm saying this to men, I'm saying this to women. I've said this to husbands. I've said this to wives on the call, especially the married ones. This is who I married. Sit down. This is who I am married. Don't say this is how the person I married is supposed to be. No, this is who I married. When you are taking stock, when they say they are doing stock keeping, you don't take stock of what is not in your store. You take stock, you go to your store, you count. Oh, this is how many noodles we have. This is how many eggs we have. This is how many beans we have. This is how much garri we have. That's stock taking. You don't take stock of what is still in the market. You take stock of what you have on ground. Can you please take stock? Take stock of your partner, of your business. Pragmatic stock. This is what I have on ground. This is what I'm working with. It saves you a lot. It gives you clarity. Going forward, you know, okay, this is how this man will continue to be. This is how this woman will continue to be. This is how this business has always been. This is how this ministry has been functioning. Okay, then you can now say, what can I do to make it better? You see, it is no longer about expectations that are outside of your control now. You are not going to say, but I expected it to be. No, you are going to say, okay, this is where we are. Yeah, this is where we are. Okay, what is within my power here? What is outside of my power here? What is within my power is that I should adjust this, adjust this, adjust that. The rest should then conform. Then you'll be able to make pragmatic decisions. And that way you will see that you will make good progress. Stop saying, I want God to come and make decisions for me. When you analyze to the point of paralysis, you will do nothing. That's why they call it analysis of paralysis. It means overanalyzing something to the point where you end up not carrying out any action, and that thing continues to degenerate, or it continues to be a problem, and yet you couldn't move forward with the solution because you overanalyzed it. Do not engage in analysis of paralysis. This is what I've got. I want to buy a house in the city. But they call the land house in the city 500 million naira. I don't have 500 million naira. But I have land in the village. It is time for me to have a house. I'm already in my 50s. Okay. I will look at the stock I have. I will raise money and build a house in the village. It's as simple as that. Is progress. You have already decided. I will no longer tell myself, oh, God will do it. I will do one contract. One contract like this, I will make 1 billion. I will just buy a house. That's, I've heard people say that several times. Everyone that I've heard in my life who said that, they ended up impoverished, saying that it's like doing gambling, saying that, oh, don't worry. Just one contract. If God will give me one contract, I will buy the whole of my tamale. In fact, I will even annex it with Guzape. When I hear people talk like that, I just shake my head. It is because they have not come to count stock, take stock, and realize that what you have, the strength of what you are going to achieve, lies with what is in your hand. What do you have in your hand right now? Take stock. Take stock of your emotions. Take stock of your feelings. Take stock of your decisions. Take stock of the people in your life. Who are those that are reliable? Who are those that are not reliable? Look at their consistent behavioral pattern. Who should you be talking to? Who should you not be talking to? Be pragmatic about it. It's not a question of I like him. You can like somebody and the person may hate you. You can like somebody and the person may envy you. You can like somebody and the person may be bad-mouthing you. Take a stock. When you take a stock, you see all the dead weights, then you shed them off. When you shed them off, you will see yourself as you truly are. Bible says that when we see him, we will see ourselves as we truly are. Talking about Jesus, when we see Jesus like this, we will then see ourselves as we truly are through his eyes. Take stock, see things as they truly are, then make your decisions based on the practical reality of what we have on ground. This is how to move forward in the coming days. These are the things you must do. This is not sermon. This is not preaching. This is an instruction. If you are able to share this with, and you're able to come to terms and clarity with where you are now and what you have now, you will then be able to make pragmatic decisions as to how to move forward. And you will set measurable goals. And within the next few months, you will see yourself flying, achieving great things, making progress, and praising the Lord because you are able to stay in the present and make decisions thereby. The hand of the Lord is upon you. You are blessed, and the hand of the Lord has lifted you. Glory to God in the highest, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, Glory!
Glory,
Glory to God!
glory, glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.